Welcome back to another episode of the Nationwide Podcast. I'm your girl, Diarra Springer. And here in studio with me, I have two pioneers in the creative industry. I'll let them go ahead and introduce themselves. On my left, I have
LaShawna Griffith.
And on my right,
Akeem Chandler Prescott, also known as Stone with Cupid.
Welcome, guys. How are you today?
I'm doing well. We are in peak season for creatives right now, so you know, we are as well as we can be.
And you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm blessed. I'm thankful.
All right. So we've seen you guys. We've seen the poetry. We've seen the many NIFCA awards between both of you. But take it back to where it all began. How did you guys even get started on this journey?
I think we had two separate journeys, very different, distinct. I would have started my journey, I would say the Commonwealth School, the University of Waterford, if anybody's watching the greatest secondary school.
Oh, brother.
Lord have mercy.
Up and on.
For those watching, please note that the Lord School is the best school in Barbados.
We produce enough people. I don't think I'll get you to listen to the names we produce, but anyways.
Are we produced prime ministers?
I used to do theater arts at Commonwealth. And in theater arts, they were sending us, you know, the best of a triple threat, sing, dance, act. I had a little bit of rhythm. The acting wasn't too bad. I sound like a crapper when I tried to sing. So I was like, okay, let me see if I can rap. So I started rapping. And at first, you know, I was a very jovial spirit. So a lot of my rap songs were kind of funny and sporty. But I'm such an introvert. I'm an introvert that's paid to be extroverted, right? A lot of people didn't realize I had a funny bone, so they thought I was serious about some of the songs I was making. And they realized they weren't being received the way I was. I was like, man, this is for jokes. But then I actually started taking rapping seriously. And rap is very expensive. You got to spend $700-$800 on a song. Whoa. You're putting up the song, and you're not getting no income really back in return. Hardly getting radio play. So I rapped for about, I want to say I took it seriously about for 3 years. I invested probably over $9,000. Into music videos, branding, so much. And I reached the point where I was like, okay, I can rhyme words really well to music. I have a message, I have a flow, I have a unique artistic identity that I know I want to communicate, but this is not sustainable. How can I repackage this in a way that makes sense? So I deconstructed all of my rap songs into spoken word. And I released my last rap song in 2016, January. It's called Memoirs of a Madman, which is very funny considering. And I went in the spoken word that year. And by the end of 2016, I actually had two silver medals at NIFCA and the Irwana Trophy for Excellence in Theatre.
Nice.
And at the time, that was my first time going to NIFCA and also my first time performing at NIFCA. I had no idea what the Irwana Trophy for Excellence in Theatre meant. I thought they'd just give them away, right? I thought anybody's get them. And then I realized, oh no, this was an accomplishment. And then they released the points. I got 89 that year. Once again, did not know that 91 was a goal. Did not know that getting 89 in your first year in NIFCA was a big thing. I actually got the highest score in NIFCA that year. Again, I didn't know what I mean. I was very ignorant to a lot of this. And a lot of people around me was like, nah, but you need to like actually focus and lock in and do this thing. So that happened to align with me starting my bachelor's in arts and entertainment management at the Barbados Community College. Back when tuition was a thing, so I had to pay for tuition. And I was starting my journey as an arts manager and as an artist. So I think I had an unfair advantage to some degree, because as I was learning my craft, I already knew the craft of rapping, but as I was exploring different crafts, I was also exploring arts management. So I was able to grow, I guess, into what we see here today and now. And I can let you really speak about her introduction.
Yeah, so for me, from a young age, I was always talented with words. And like, even at primary school, shout out to St. Paul's Primary School, my teachers at St. Paul saw that I had a gift for writing. And by the time I got to Lodge, you know, my teachers there once again said I was talented in writing. And I remember we were doing biting. And I remember I asked my teacher at the time, I was like, why you didn't got nothing that song Beijing in this book? Right? And she said, well, write it. And that is how it started. I started there writing, and then I decided I wanted to do theater arts to benefit my writing abilities. I'm able to write plays, which snowballed. And by fifth form, I was performing with the Lodge School Drama Group with Shelley Ann Bourne. And that was fun. I got the opportunity to write some of the plays as well, and to act in the plays as well. So we went to NIFCA, I think 2009. We went to NIFCA as Lodge School Drama Group. And it was, we did a piece called Stop the Beating About Hair, which was myself, Chrisanna, I can't remember her last name, and Lisa Gridette at the time. Well, Corbin now, but Gridette Corbin. And we were, that piece was so riveting because it talked about how teachers were beating children at the time, which was topical. And I remember that Chrisanna actually was the person to discipline me on stage. And people said that it was so riveting because I was hollering and hitting it out. What I did not know is that Chrisanna actually hit me.
Oh, shoot.
And she hit me hard. So I ended up bawling real tears because the belt hit me so hard. And I remember after that, we did not make the finals. And there was a whole full page article in The Nation that my mommy still got to this day talking about how riveting the Shauna's performance was. And I was like, if I didn't know that I get beat and I had welts on my skin when we left. So then from there in 2012, I decided I wanted to be a solo artist and I wanted to do poetry, like, seriously. And I remember entering and I was so frightened. And that's the year I met Adrian Green too, because I saw Adrian Green at NIFCA 2009, wanted to talk to him, but was so nervous because I was like, oh my God, like, this man know that I feel like he's the best thing since sliced bread for me. And I was so nervous. Then I see wife and children. I was like, all right, let me hold it back. And I was 16 then. So then I wait, you know, a little longer. And I was like, oh, whoa, the man got wife and children, boy. My, like, that's the first time I experienced heartbreak. Adrian will laugh, but that's the first time I experienced heartbreak in my life. Because then I see man got wife and children, and I was like, cha, you ain't gonna hope for me, boy. Right? But after that, you know, I would have entered NIFCA from 2009 until 2022. Was my last year. And believe it or not, I never got a medal at NIFCA.
Never?
Never. My first medal was in 2022. Yeah. First. 2023, yeah. Bronze. When I got my bronze medals, double bronze medals. And it was a surreal moment because I was training with Sonia Williams.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I went to message her to tell her, yo, I get bronze medals. And then I heard she passed.
Oh, no.
And that was so sad. Well, I heard she was sick and then she passed. So that was cool. But those pieces that I did, to me, it was a whole life moment because my dad passed in 2022. And I decided that every performance after that, quite promised him I could perform, every performance after that, I would give it my all. And I was very happy to get my medals as well. And the two pieces are topical. I had a woman yesterday tell me, I like that piece, Belcher. I said, I was there eating my chicken barn, minding my business. And the lady tell me how she liked the piece and what she was going through and so on. The Belcher Racism was a piece I wrote as a rant that became a piece that Bajans love.
Yes.
Speaking about racism in Barbados and how, you know, people are always ready to tell me you should go back to where you come from as though we don't know self and we don't know who we are. And Colorism 101 was a funny piece, yet serious, because you know when you're talking to Flo, you say, please dial one. And I was like, I want to use that, please dial. I do chapters where each chapter has that ironicism about what really happens and what doesn't. And that was fun. I had a good time at NIFCA in 2023. 2024, I entered, yes, but I did not take it as seriously as 2022, 2023. So no hard feelings. And then in 2024... I had this brilliant idea that we need to decentralize performance poetry in Barbados and get it from being a niche. And I remember I went to Akeem and I was like, listen, we're doing an event called Poetry Barbados. And he was like, Poetry Barbados? Show me the design concept. And that was it. The only thing I designed to this day that this person over here liked is that, that graphic. That's my lone graphic thing that I have created that looked nice. And then he asked when we were doing it. And I was like, well, I want to do it a day that they can never do it again. So February 29th. Right?
Fair enough. It's a leap year.
Nobody can replicate it to the next 4 years. So Poetry Barbados was born. We had our first event that had 225 people. And from there, our last show had 225 people, which I think is a circle of life moment again, because for me, Poetry Barbados and why we're named POETRWE is that we see ourselves as a tree and branching out and allowing creatives to branch out and to develop and to grow roots and to thrive. And I find that in decentralizing and going to different places across the island and performing, you get followers mm-hmm. that come out and that support the arts. And I think a lot of people never realize that spoken word is good because their first interaction was at NIFCA mm-hmm. and hearing the resuscitation pieces.
Oh, yeah.
And screaming, mm-hmm. you know, P is for Paul and O is for Owen.
Yes.
And, you know, mm-hmm. and then they come and the poetry now and they see, well, wait. Boy, so she's spitting bars. Poor child, she good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that is something that was tantamount for me when we did this to really get people to understand, like, we hard, we never go. We never go. We good boat here. And I think over the last year and some, people have really understood, you know, spoken word, what it means, how we can be using positive messaging, how it's a form of edutainment. And, you know, it's just so beautiful to see. Mm-hmm. And then also being able to award griots.
Yes.
As mm-hmm. well. So we've been able to award 9 griots, ranging from Adrian Green was the first. And the 9th awardee was Naila Emoja. And being able to give them awards at a time when they're living and breathing. And be able to accept them. And then to their role in mentoring some of the young poets as well. It's heartwarming for me. And, yeah, I feel happy to see it grow and develop the way it has.
That's beautiful. Beautiful journey for both of you. How important do you think it is for the younger poets to have that space where they can come and freely express themselves?
Start your day with the Nation News ePaper. Enjoy the accessibility and new upgrades of the Nation News ePaper daily, whether on our mobile app or Nation News website. For added convenience, use our new audio read feature, which reads the newspaper aloud, or look in the archives for any publications you may have missed. Get your news, your time, your way with the Nation News ePaper and enjoy our new upgrades.
Poetry Barbados, for me at least, I think it's the next cog in a long-term strategic plan mm-hmm. to develop spoken word in Barbados holistically, not just as the verb, but as the noun and the adjective, and actually cultivate artistic ability mm-hmm. alongside artistic intelligence. So a lot of the youngsters, you know, they have it a little different from us because we remember what it was like when you just had CBC, Facebook, and BBN. Mm. A lot of the younger artists, you know, media is very decentralized. You have mm-hmm. TikTok pockets, Instagram pockets, Twitter pockets. Everybody got their own algorithm and space and locked in. And I felt like it was very important that we amalgamate everyone into one space. Mm-hmm. Not only the audiences, but the Winston Farrells, who's like 67, the Ajaz that up in the late 60s, to these younger people that might be now 19, 20, 21. So you get that transmission of intergenerational knowledge mm-hmm. and that fertilization of poetic ideas. So when you come to a poetry show, and if we can call it Poetry Barbados, where it actually captures the full Barbadian identity mm-hmm. of what we do as poets. So I think for the younger people, they have an opportunity, unlike any other. Yes, they have poetry shows before, mm-hmm. but this is the first poetry show and poetry space where when you come into the space, you actually get a full experience of what Barbadian spoken word is like and what Barbadian poetry lovers is like, because there's a particular person mm-hmm. that is put on a nice clothes and getting a hairdo and getting a beard trim and come down to a poetry show mm-hmm. and sit for 3 hours. Because some people will pass and be like, let me see about last 30 minutes and leave. But there's a core group of people mm-hmm. that will stay the entirety of the show.
And not only stay, but have a notebook and tell you what lines to like and what lines to didn't like. And man, yeah. I feel that you could add saying here, uh-huh. there's got persons that's come after the shows and they will come to me like, man, that piece society likes the police women, man, we like that. But listen, you think about adding, about how, even if you're a Muslim, you still get harassed. And just give me lines. And I just be like, shh, back to the drawing board we go. And that's one of the things about the poetry. I just call it our poetry family, is that everybody has constructive criticism. And it's letting you know where they like you, where they don't like you.
Yeah.
Right? But it don't like be disrespectful. Mm-hmm. And I think that the energy too, especially now that we're at our home space at Bean and Bagel, 2.0 mm-hmm. is that the energy is just be so much fun. It's be so infectious. Everybody just be smiling from the time they enter the door to the time they leave. Everybody just be in good spirits. And I think that that makes the artists just feel good about their art and themselves, but also have a safe space where mm-hmm. everybody feels safe. Nobody don't feel like they can't share their most vulnerable thoughts in this space as well. Yeah. Sorry, Akin.
No, no, that's fine. That's fine. You said what I was yeah. thinking, to be honest. So I think another thing too that I really like about Poetry Barbados and what I think is important is something you said earlier, the access point that people have for spoken word. For so many people, it would be you have a show and there's a poet,
yeah.
but it won't be a poetry show. Mm. So you would get a poet sprinkling with Ray Plaster, but like I had the horror and dismay to having to follow Biggie Ery. I love poetry and song.
Oh boy.
And then the next thing that made me follow Ray Plaster, but
oh, no.
And back had these old girls, the boat is walking.
Oh no.
And then up next we have Akim Chandler Prescott performing a piece called Aphrodite. And it was a very clever piece because Aphrodite and Aphrodite, like a girl with an afro that I worship as a goddess. And the piece was so clever. Luckily for me, I had music to the piece. I was in a similar BPM range, the bike performance set. So people were still moving.
Yeah.
But yeah, like a lot of poets would get trained in deep end like that. And I mean, it was good for me because you learn to either swim or sink, right? Mm-hmm. But for a lot of people, this is the first time that they enjoy a poetry show. And it's not just the actual lyrics on stage. Is it food? Is it drinks? Is it atmosphere? Is it camaraderie? Is it jokes? Is it corny jokes as well? Is it MCs? is the space, the decor? And then also too, you start to matriculate into the culture, what poetry is. Because you might come to the event and realize, I kind of overdress. Or you might come to the event and realize, I underdress. And then you might realize who you could bring to your friend circle, because let me be real, we can't all mix our friend groups. There's certain friend groups you can't bring to certain spaces. So then you start to realize, okay, this is a niche avenue and experience that we can take people to. And one of the things that is occurring with it is not only is it shaping the Barbadian identity for poetry, but we're starting to attract regional and international attention.
Amazing.
We've had quite a few international artists at our show. We had a guy last year at our show at Dunwoody Cricket Legends, which I think was May 30th, Michael Warrior Bonds, who is a poetry slam champion from Boston. Mm-hmm. We had a poet from Write About Now, One Poetry, that's what WAN One stands for.
Yeah.
We had a poet here called Jay DeSage. She studies at Ross University. He's performed on One Poetry stages. He was in our second last show, which was a battle royale. He competed against the other poet. It was America versus Barbados. Barbados won. Not to say we biased. Barbados barely won, just to be clear. Barely won.
2 points.
By like 2 points. But we've been attracting international poets. And also people from the diaspora that be telling us, hey, can you stream our shows? We want to watch it. So we are literally exporting now Barbadian storytelling, Barbadian culture, Barbadian art, and hopefully the Barbadian artists. So for people watching this, you know, if you want to support young creatives, if you want to support budding entrepreneurs, and also poetry is something too, you could use it for rehabilitation, get people involved, you know, that might be at risk. You know, this is a perfect vessel, essentially, to use to help the youth, to help disenfranchised people, and also the peer messaging, because poets have a unique ability where you could, if we align with what you're talking about, a poet could be the perfect person for anti-violence messaging,
correct,
the perfect person for drug rehabilitation messaging. And we have a culture, you know, where young girls are not always protected.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect place to speak out about those things. And then it's also a tool that you can have, say you're dealing with trauma or even grief, where you can actually sit down and process trauma, process grief, process complicated emotions through a writing workshop. So it's not just, you know, we come out here and spit pretty bars and wear leather jackets in summer heat. it's also a space where we can develop the self, develop the artistry, and develop our economy. So we trying to approach it, that way I said, a holistic approach where we capture everything. It's a lot of work. I rent my darkers because I got my bags are suitcases. These are no longer bags. They're carrying suitcases with me. The bags are not my check luggage. But we are able to develop something that I hope, even if, you know, we can't continue to do it for whatever reason, whether we have a physical impairment or whatever, that what we have imbued in the minds of people can carry on and live on for years to come, because Barbados is 166 square miles.
Mm-hmm.
You could drive from Silver Sands to St. Andrew in 40 minutes.
Right.
So if we could get across the island out easy, how we is that we don't poetry for 40, 50 years and we can't penetrate every community.
Mm.
So we about time we get the ball rolling.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And congratulations to you both, because
appreciate it.
For sure, I know it can't be anything easy doing, you know, I'm in awe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been very sustainable as well. Because, you know, sometimes things start and then they die off. But you guys have been able to manage a show, a very well produced show. So congrats on that, guys.
Yeah. And I also want to say, Diara, that it's not just us. Mm-hmm. Because you may see us at the front, but there are also three other persons that we use, an executive. Mm-hmm. So I just want to call their names, which is Cher Antoinette, Zoe Sunshine, and Teo Greenwich. They're a part of our team. And I must say that without them, we can't do these shows. They have been very integral in assisting us with the planning and implementation and the execution on the night off to make sure that everyone has a great time. And then also being a bagel with Rachel Charles, her team, also ensuring that everyone has something to eat, something to drink, and that the vibe is one where even if you take out the poetry, it's still a vibe that people will enjoy.
Still a lime, a good lime.
So definitely, without them, this would not be
possible.
And
shout out, you know, all the sponsors, all the the security team, because we got
our security team is very, very, very
good. Shout out the volunteers and the people that is, you know, and the team when we got print shirts last minute.
Yeah,
all the service providers, you know, you know who you are. We don't want to call all the names here because we might forget a name, but you know, we all the service providers and support agencies that have helped us over the time. And shout out Nation News for having us here too as well.
Yeah, after covering almost all of our shows, I think you guys covered 18 and 19. So thank you. Thank you so much.
It turns into a movement, and I keep telling people, you could come, and Hollywood could easily come down here and tap Heartman. And produce a Heartman story. That's our intellectual property, our folklore, our mystical being. So poetry is a perfect medium, it's a perfect vessel, it's a perfect catchment art form where you can preserve your storytelling, your intangible cultural heritage, your oral traditions, and your culture. So I'm very grateful for all the support we get, because what we're doing is preserving Barbadiana and what it means to be a Bajan, and what is happening in Barbados currently in this time. We're freezing this in time in our art. So all the documentation I do, the videos, because I do all the graphics, the videos, the photos, and a lot of the event design. We've done over 1,000 posts in the last year and a half. Got 700 on Instagram, and we got over 300 on TikTok, and also the Facebook posts and YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So we pump out, tons of media production. Mm-hmm. If we had to cost this, the label we volunteer, mine alone in the six figures for this last year.
And then on my side, I do all the PR, marketing, email blasts, WhatsApp channels, website. All the updates, liaising with the media, the whole media side is under me. And then also talent liaison, as well as ensuring that we have the personnel. So I talked to the volunteers, I ensure everybody got shirts. So it's been so much that goes into it. But I think that for me, because I love it, it just come out and it's been infectious. So everybody that comes to the door, because I'm also French, the house management as well. I wear a lot of hats. Everybody that comes to the door is like, you are
everything.
So happy.
Yeah.
You are so happy. How are you so happy? And meanwhile, in my mind, I'm like, I wonder if that woman at table six get full. Right?
Yes, experience matters.
Right?
Here.
And I'd be, Rachel, that woman at table six, she gets you food yet? But for me, it just be a joy because people don't have to come.
Mm-hmm.
People do not have to leave their house and come. We had a woman at our last show that told me that she came from Connell Town, St. Lucie, to come to Being a Bagel in Silver Sands because she really liked the poets.
Amazing.
And mind you, she had a particular poet that she in love with, but that was a story for another day, right? Because sad to say, people like people that look good, right?
Correct.
A lot of our poets are very attractive people.
So we've been told.
They come, and on the night, obviously, I make myself look good too, so, people will love me too. But I just find that is so beautiful to see. In terms of how much people has come out. Because when we started, I was like, when I think people will come? And I was like, all right, well, they do the PR, the press release. I went to Morning Barbados to do everything you're supposed to do. We pay for sponsored posts, but people could come.
I want to tell a story about that. So on the way to our first show, I was on the bus. We didn't drive in then. I caught the bus, all my equipment with me on the bus going down. And I had on the shirt. And this lady was sitting down. She kept staring at me. And as a man was to make you stare at you, is one asked like, what happened? You know, what get a little confrontational? And she was like, I think we're in the same place. And so you're coming to the Poetry Barbados show? She was like, I think so. I think that's where you're trying to go. Right, exactly. And we both got off. And it was this older lady. And she came to about four shows after that too. And she was the first person there. We walked in. I sat her down, made sure she get a drink and everything. And she caught the bus to come to the show. And I realized when I was catching the bus going to some of our shows, people will be on the bus with me going to the show. And we'll be having conversations about the show and whatnot. But as Lashana was saying, this has been, if we quantify the labor costs that we have sponsored. We're talking near $250,000 that we have probably put into this thing.
Wow.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it's about, I've been quantifying it. Trust me. I deal with the numbers. I've been tracking everything. So yeah. So if Barbados wanted to reproduce or replicate what we are doing, if it was not volunteering, they have poets actively pulling the weight for poets. You're talking tens of thousands of dollars, right? So it is a massive investment of labor, of time, of cost, of talent. Mm-hmm. And we want to shelter all the artists that they get paid every now and then, but they also volunteer a lot. We want to shelter the artists that volunteer themselves, the spaces that have, you know, made themselves available. We are eternally grateful. And as you say, the people that come out, because there are people that live in, let me be real, the bus service in Barbados is trash.
Poor.
To some degree. It's getting better. I must say, transport works have been making an attempt. But there are people in St. Andrew that will just never get to cricket legends or being a bagel. There are people that live in St. John that just will never get there. So when we see those people make an effort, I just want to make sure that they're comfortable.
Yeah.
Because as a bus man myself, I know what it's like to stand up at a bus stop till 11:30.
And wait.
I know what it's like.
So that's why it's important to take poetry to different communities.
Yes.
Right? Because we went to Kwanzaa at the Ngozi Forum and Cultural Sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a beautiful experience to have poetry up there in St. Andrew.
Mm.
So what we've been doing is taking the poetry to different communities. So we went to Ngozi Forum and Cultural Sanctuary, which is at Turner's Hall, St. Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Rock Hall Freedom Village as well, where we had our World Poetry Day show, which was sponsored by We Gathering Secretariat. We went to Stanley Center with the Emancipation Village last year. And we'll be going as far and wide. So if anybody listening to this wants poetry to come, we're open to going far and wide. All we need is a little transportation, because they have a Swift. They can only hold 4 people, and we have a cast of almost 30. So a little transportation will be nice.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, I got a mate. Well, that's 9 trips to get everybody there. But I think that if y'all want us to come anywhere, we are open to it, because our mission is to desensitize. See, I did it. Desensitize.
I thought that was a word, but sure.
Across
the nation.
Across the nation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so where have we been? We've been to most parishes, but, you know, if persons want us, we are open to coming. And that has been my
thing.
We've
avoided
the
centipede parishes mostly.
That's the thing I was saying, but we went to St. Andrew.
But I haven't seen any centipedes in St. Andrew. St. Philip got a reputation for them. We haven't touched St. Philip yet.
Poor.
But we can get there.
Yeah.
We've been to
Hammond's
as well.
We've been to Hammond's as well. So we've been going all around, and I think that that's one of the beauties of it, because there are people that I would meet and I would see, and they'll be like, when are we all coming back down north? And they're like, just got us. So we are open to going anywhere, because that it is tantamount and paramount as well that we have poetry in communities and in societies. Because if you look even at the work the government is doing with the anti-violence campaigns, you know, they are seeking to go into communities and show how art can be used as a form of rehabilitation, right, as
mm-hmm.
well. So if we can have poets going in, soca, dancehall,
mm-hmm.
you name it, and use art as a way of crime prevention, then we would have persons, because everybody may not want to do poetry. We would love everybody to do poetry, all 286,000 Barbadians to do poetry, because then we could get a Madison Square Garden and sell out. I mean, that's the end goal. But obviously, when you have persons, you know, doing poetry, doing soca, doing dance, doing whatever, and you really use art as a crime prevention tool, you will be surprised at how many artists will come out to these communities and how many persons will now have a positive outlet to share some of that stuff that they may be facing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why from get-go, I said we have to go into communities. We have to go to as many parishes as possible, because, yes, there were other poetic organizations in the past,
mm-hmm.
but I found that just staying in one central location has stopped the growth.
Mm.
Because outside the people in St. Michael, people in St. Lucie, like, he's a poet. What was your name?
Mm.
We never hear about you yet, because they ain't get up there. So you got to go where the people are. And I think that in any mass media promotion, you know that you got to go to where people are. Like, even you with the news, you know you got to go and get the story from where people are.
Correct.
You can't just sit down in the office and get news.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's something that's at the forefront for us. And we, as long as I got health and strength, I go in. Even if I go in a wheelchair when I get 99, I still go in and talk to people. because I believe it's important, man. And our oral traditions is something, like Akeem said, no one can take from us. They can try, but they can't take from us. And that is why it's so important.
Beautiful, beautiful. And we'll be looking forward for all the great work that you guys continue to do.
Mm-hmm.
And just wish you all the best.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you for taking the time to being here with us today, Akeem and LaShawna. And to our viewers, thank you as well. Stay tuned for more episodes of the Nationwide Podcast. I'm Tiara. Bye.